Les colloques du Collège de France.
Okay, so the next presentation is given by Ludovic Chamois. So Ludovic is a professor at l'École Normale Supérieure de Paris-Saclay, now the new name.
Yes.
Okay, where he is responsible of a team of research working on the construction of numerical method for mechanics, structure mechanics. And so he is member of the Institut Universitaire de France, both junior and senior. It's quite right.
Recently, yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations. And also he is... He got an ERC project again. A lot of ERC project here. I will take 10% of each ERC project for my retirement. And he's also recipient of a number of prizes, among them the John Argyris Medal in 2008. And Ludovic will speak about integrated structural health monitoring with real-time data simulation and hybrid twins.
Thank you, Yvon. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy to be there and to speak about this topic. So there are several reasons why I decided to speak about that. First of all, because that's the end of my ERC, the first one, the conciliator grant. It ended in May, so it's a nice place to show you the results and the path we followed in this project to do what is done in the title, to do a structuralist monitoring in real time. Second, because I'm going to speak about things that use several topics that Yvon discussed during the courses. Not only model reduction, but also data simulation with PDW or things that looks like this approach, and real data. So it's also nice to see what is going on when you use real data. And coming back to the previous question, I will also speak about control, MPC control, because I want to do the full loop of assimilation and feedback control on the application. So of course, it's a work with many people. You have here the list of PhD students, postdocs, and interns, and permanent students, which are associated to the ERC. So the idea is to address what is called DDDIS. You probably heard about that. The overall idea is to connect a real system which has some sensors in it, so which is equipped with sensors, to connect it with a simulator. And the goal of the simulator is first to control the application in real time, and then also to be updated, to be enriched potentially a long time by some data simulation techniques. So of course, there are many interests in doing that in many applications. Coming back also to the question, there are many applications where this can be envisioned. Of course, where I'm going to place today, because I come from a lab which is more in mechanics and structural mechanics, I'm going to address application in structural mechanics for structural health monitoring. Okay? So in this context, you want to build this kind of DDDIS to do smart engineering structure in the sense that you want to know each time what is the health of the structure in terms of damage. Can you still work on it, or do you have to stop it? Okay, so this is a question of maintenance, predictive maintenance, or operation in degraded mode, potentially, if it can still work, but with a different loading, for instance, you can do it. Okay, so there are many aspects and many interests in using a simulator to know and to optimize the operational framework of the structure. Okay. So, of course, when you deal with also structural mechanics, there are many constraints that prevents to do this in real time, in a robust manner, and so on, because you usually work with some structures which are complex, multi-scale, very large. You have some data, but they are always noisy, and you don't have so many data, so you have to be careful about that. And you don't know many things. For instance, the environment, the boundary conditions, you usually don't know them exactly, so you have to deal with all these uncertainties in the process of assimilation and control. So what we want to do what we did in this ERC is to propose some numerical methods to address all these things and to do in a robust, real-time manner the full feedback loop, again, with assimilation and control. And the path to do that is something which was discussed yesterday in terms of hybrid twins. Okay, there was a presentation by Beatrice on that. And I'm going to work also with this. So the idea is to take all the physics you know and to enrich it with some data by some way. Okay, and I will propose a way to do it. Okay, so the way I'm going to use, and we use in the project, is because usually when you speak about structural mechanics, you know quite well the physics. You know equilibrium, for instance. You know that you have to satisfy this. You know things about materials. You know thermodynamics. You have many information coming from physics. And again, you don't have so much data. Okay, so we design a strategy which is based on what we call the MCRE concept, modified constitutive relation error concept, which is nice when you are in this framework, okay, with a lot of a priori information and not so much data. Okay, so here is the outline. I'm going first to give to show you a few slides on hybrid twins, very fast, because Ellen spoke about that just before, but to refresh you and to show you the PBDW functional, because the one I'm going to use next, MCRA one, is going to be very close to this one. I want to show you the connection between books. And then I will show you a short application of this MCRE-based data assimilation in real time by coupling it with Kalman filtering to take into account some data that come in time sequentially. And the first application will be on checking table tests which are performed at CEA. It was the first application we designed before the ERC project. And then I will go to what we did in the ERC with some improvement in terms of numerics to address really the question of smart structures. Okay, so let's start. So hybrid twins, that was discussed yesterday by Beatrice. The idea is to try to find a solution as a sum of two components, something coming from physics, which is, something coming from data, and you want to find a solution which is a compromise between both, and for instance, as a sum of both. We could discuss on why the sum, but it is a choice, okay? And then you want to minimize this solution by comparing with data, okay, of course. So, there are many advantages in doing that compared, for instance, for a fully database approach. For instance, there are many interests, in particular for structural monitoring. You can predict, and you can predict outside the learning space. For instance, if you want to predict what happens in extreme scenarios, you can do it because you have a lot of physics in what you have done. I would like to emphasize one point. There are many ways to do that, to do this sum, and in many application, not a PBDW, but in many applications I saw, I think it is suboptimal in the way it is done, because usually what people do is that they start from the physics, they compare directly with data, and then they take the residual and they play on it. They learn from the residual. And from my point of view, it is not a good way to do it. I would prefer learning or computing both terms in the same time, okay? And that's what PBDW does, and that's what we do with the MCRE as well, okay? So I will be strict in this complementary part and doing the computation of both parts at the same time. It is what we call a bias-aware data assimilation because we know a priori that the physics is not good and we are going to inform the data assimilation process that there is a complementary part that we are going to compute as well in the process. Okay. So just one application. I'm going to be very fast again because Ellen was mentioning that and it is not the core of what I want to present. One application because that's something I did with Yvonne a couple of years ago in the PhD of Willy Eich. It was the application of PDW to this case, which is a case of additive manufacturing, which is a very complex case in practice. Even if you only consider thermal application, thermal effects, it's already very complex because you have very multi-scale effects. And in this area, the philosophy was to consider not very fine scale model, but in the contrary, some very macroscopic model that will be my initial physics-based information that I will complement by information. And in practice, when you do manufacturing, you have a lot of information coming from thermal cameras, for instance. Okay. So in this concept, we were rather in the framework where we have a quite poor model, but a lot of data. And then this is the perfect setting for PBDW. So I'm going to go fast and to show you the application and the results. So you know that PBDW is going to construct as a sum, as Ellen was mentioning before. You play with two spaces, a background space that comes from the physics, a big space that comes from data, And you are going to define these two terms, the blue one and the red one, in each of these spaces. Okay? And you are going to compute them in the same time. I come back to my previous proposal. Okay? So the nice thing about that, I like a lot this method because it is defined from a very natural cost function, which is simply to say, I'm going to minimize the distance with observation. Okay? So L is my observation operator. Here you have the sum of the two terms in your PDW. And you regularize the problem by saying, I'm going to minimize the model bias, the enrichment I want to do. Okay, it's an enrichment term. When you do all the analytics on that, you can show very nice properties in terms of orthogonality. You can deal with the optimal placement of sensors that was Elling was mentioning. And we also did, in the PhD of Fuli, how to address time-dependent problems, parameterize, by, for instance, introducing an enrichment term which can be put back in the background if, in order not to, to learn it at each time step. Okay, so I'm going to go fast on that. It's not the idea, but just to show you one result, to show what we can do with this. And I like this one. So we played with application at the melting pool scale or at the layer scale in your manufacturing device. Here, I'm going to show you one application at the layer scale. You see that we are going to use some data coming from thermal cameras with high frequency, and we are going to use a very crude model, which is almost analytical. Okay? It comes from a very simple consideration. Here you have the heat kernel, okay, through the thickness of the part, and you simply do a convolution along the laser path to have a vague ID of the thermal evolution, the thermal solution. Okay? And I'm going, furthermore, to show what happens when you are in this kind of layer, which has an evolving thickness. That means that this coefficient, which is there, the alpha, which is more or less an equivalent diffusivity along the thickness, is going to evolve with time, simply because you have a thickness that evolves as well. Okay? So, of course, if you are able to follow very accurately what happens in terms of term of temperature, you can do next, for instance, optimal laser trajectory to remove or to minimize the result stresses, for instance, in your application. So it is very important for people in additive manufacturing. So here you will see the result. What you will see is the following. Here is a laser pass. Here you will see the brute data coming from thermal cameras. Here you will see the solution, the PDW solution. Here, the Z part coming from physics only. Here, the enrichment and the eta, the complementary part coming from data. Here, the sum of the all terms, which is a full solution coming from PDW. And below, you have the errors associated to that. And here you will see the evolution of this lambda, which is, again, this diffusivity, which is going to adapt with time in real time. So here it's what you get. So you see that if you take the data only, you have a lot of bubbles coming in, which is simply some projection coming from the material when it is manufactured. And one interesting thing in that is that the PDW is some kind of filtering of this. It removes this very bad effects coming, which are not physical. It is simply something coming out of the camera. And it is removed automatically. And of course, you also see that the error you get at the end is much smaller than if you take the physics-based model only. Okay, that's the interest, of course, of PBDW. Okay? So that was my first point, but it was important. And remember the functional which is used in PBDW because MCRE will be quite close to that. So, of course, we can do many other things. And recently, what we did in a PhD is to learn this enrichment part of PDW by, for instance, for using DeepoNet. You can do many things in addition, but again, it is not a topic here. Let's now go to this MCRE functional. So I know it is something you know a little bit less because it comes from computational mechanics disciplines and community, but I want to focus on the links we have with PDW. You will see it is not so difficult to see. So the beginning of this, you can understand this MCRE as a natural way, a very pragmatic way to address an inverse problem. You are going to say, in any inverse problem, I have something that I know and something that I don't know, which are uncertain. And then you split all these pieces of information, either from the model or from experiments, from the data. And what you are going to do is that you are going to enforce str- strongly what you know, for instance, in mechanics, the equilibrium, the thermodynamic conditions. If you have boundary conditions, you know you will, of course, put that in this space. And all that you don't know, you are going to relax it along the process. So it's a very flexible approach, and it can be, of course, adapted to what you know and what you don't know for any practical application. And then from that, you are going to define a functional, and this functional actually is how you are going to satisfy at best what you don't know. For instance, the data, they are noisy, so you are going to take a term that considers the distance between the simulation output and your data. You don't want to fit exactly the data because they are noisy, of course. Here, for instance, is what you get because you don't know the model. In particular, in mechanics, you don't know the constitutive relation, so you are going to relax it here. And then you end up with a functional like this. What is important to understand is that it is a two-fields functional. You are going to consider displacement and stress, the two dual fields in mechanics, and you are going to minimize respect to both. They are not connected. You release the constitutive relation again. But other than that, you see that it is something which looks like PDW. You have this term, some kind of L2 distance. It is a Malebis distance, but it looks like a L2 distance with observation, and something which is going to be coming with the equivalent of eta, except that here you give a little bit more structured version of the correction. Okay, so you indicate that it comes from the constitutive relation, from boundary condition. You give more structure in the way you do it. Okay, so until now, this functional was used mainly to adapt to update some parameters, but of course it can be also used as an hybrid twin, because the optimal fields you will get from mechanics are going to be the compromise between your model and your data. Okay, so it is really an hybrid twin in a natural way. So there are many advantages. I'm not going to list all of them, but along the different papers that address this topic, it has been shown that it has very nice convexity properties, that it can spatially localize some defects, for instance. And for those of you who are familiar with Bayesian inference, you can also see it. It is the Tarantola's framework. This blue term, is a way to indicate the modeling error in the likelihood function for those who do Bayesian inference. Okay, so many ways to see it, but at the point again here. Just one point, it would be important for the future. I said that this CRE term, the blue term, constitutive relation error, is going to indicate, in particular, what is the mismatch in terms of constitutive relation, of material relation. In materials, you have, from thermodynamics, some potentials that define the constitutive laws. And how this metric is going to be defined is from the Lewis-Fenchel duality. So you use a potential psi, which is convex, and it's dual potential. And then you define this metric, which has nice properties, which is always positive, which is zero only if you satisfy the constitutive relation in this way. Of course, if you consider linear elasticity, we'll have some quadratic potential, but you can define it also for nonlinear potential, for nonlinear materials, as plasticity, damage, what you want. Okay. Another point is that I like also a lot, is that you can link this CRE metric with what we call the symmetric Bregman divergence, for those of you who know that. And there is a very nice paper from Stéphane Andrieux on this point that indicates how you improve the convexity compared to classical least square minimization or least square functionals in inverse problems. So I like this because it gives a lot of mathematics input backgrounds on the choice of this functional. Okay? How can you see that it is an hybrid twin? I consider the linear case. Okay, if you want to do minimization in the linear elasticity context, you are going to minimize this MCRE functional. So it is a constraint minimization, because again, remember, you minimize under the constraint of satisfying what you know, in particular here equilibrium. So if you write the Lagrangian, okay, so you minimize this under this equilibrium property. In a discretized setting, it gives you this. So you have two fields again, U, the kinematic displacement, V, which is actually the dual of the constraint. So you represent the stress as by means of the displacement V, which is disconnected from U. There are two different displacements. Okay, again, it is a two-field minimization. And then if you do a bit of mathematics, you will end up with this solution to solve, which is a linear system, of course, because you are in linear elasticity. And then you can see that this U, the solution, the optimal U, the one which is going to define your state, is not coming from physics only. It is not a KU equal to F. It's not coming from data, but it is something, a compromise between all this. Okay, it satisfies a different behavior that comes from physics and from data. Okay, so it is really an hybrid twin in that way. Okay, so this is the first step in practice. You first solve this. It is a costly part. That's where we are going to do model reduction to find the optimal mechanical state. And then, of course, in next step, if you want, you can update by some parameters by classical gradient approaches. It is not a difficulty. Okay, so that this is an MCRE, and again, it is close to the PW in the philosophy. Here, yeah, I simply show you what it gives when you want to do nonlinear material. So you simply add a second potential. For those of you who you know a little bit of materials, any nonlinear materials can be defined from two potentials, one that describes what we call the state equation, and one other describes the evolution laws, how damage is going to evolve, how plasticity is going to evolve. And then you naturally introduce this functional, again, based on Lejeune-Fenchel convexity and duality, and then you end up like this. Okay? So that's where we use model reduction. I will speak a little bit about that. Because you have, when you consider a space-time problem, nonlinear space-time problem, you have to minimize over space and time a nonlinear cost function, and that can become quite complex and difficult. And then we use some kind of what we call the Latin PGD in the community. It is, if you want, a Newton-Raphson method globally in space and time, when you iterate and when you search things with a PGD approximation, when you separate space and time. When we separate space and time variables, okay? I simply show also here some application to show you that it has been already implemented in some software, in particular with EDF. We did some application, for instance, for wind turbines, okay? So to update parameters of the wind turbine. A good point with wind turbine is that you have several interfaces. You don't only have the structure, but you have connection with aero, with hydro. And again, this is flexible, this functional, in theory functional, in the sense that you can say, okay, my connection with hydrodynamics, I'm going to see it as a new constitutive relation. The connection with aerodynamics, I'm going to see it as a new constitutive relation. And so you put as many terms you want, depending on the number of parameters you want to identify in your cost function. Okay? You can also, and that is a point also which is important, as I said, this blue term, the CRE term, is some kind of modeling error term. You can also say, and you can also have an idea of the quality of the model with respect to the data. It is very important. And you can, in this way, select a good model with respect to the data you have. If you have a lot of information, you are going to pick a model which is very rich. But if you don't have much information, you are going to pick something which is very poor. So using this kind of thing, so you can design. Here you have an example for digital image correlation where you have a lot of information, very rich information in terms of fields. You can design along your full list of possible models the correct complex model that is going to represent the data. For that, you are going to pick something. Once you normalize everything, the correct model would be something such that this term is one, okay, once it is normalized. So you see that starting from a very cool model, linear elasticity, you are going to take more complex model, non-linear model, but also you can adapt the mesh to be consistent and to be able to see all the richness which is contained in the data. Okay, so it is very an important point also to for data selection. Okay, just one point on model reduction, because it is a workshop also on model reduction. So as I said, the idea is to, in the first phase of MCRE minimization, when you want to find the optimal mechanical field, you have a very complex system to solve, in particular when you deal with nonlinear behaviors. And then we are going to use this Latin PGD framework, which is going to iterate like this. So you see it is an iterative process. And each time you minimize along what is linear and global equation of equilibrium, for instance, and other than that, all which is nonlinear and which is local, the local material behavior, for instance. And you iterate like this. And you iterate with some decomposition that separates space and time in particular. So I don't have time to go into detail in that, but it is something which is well known in our community to address nonlinear time-dependent problems. and we use it, of course. Okay, so this is the MCRE functional. Let's now see the first application when we are going to couple this MCRE with the command filtering to address the sequential data assimilation. So this application, I like it a lot because it was a practical application coming from CEA, where they had some issues when they want to do some experiments on some check-it tables. What happened is that during the tests, the building, which is placed on the table, is going to damage. So there will be evolving damage. And then when there is damage, there is a loss of stiffness. And that changes the overall eigen frequency, the overall dynamical response of the system. And it turns out that in the controller of the checking table, the controller is based on the first eigenvalues of the system. And of course, if these eigenvalues change, the controller is not relevant anymore, and it can lead to unstable tests. Okay? So what they were doing so far, they were stopping the test. It is a test with increasing damage. Okay? So they were stopping the test. They were evaluating the new eigenfrequencies, changing manually the controller values, and starting the test again. Okay? So what they wanted to do, of course, is to avoid this and having a process which is online, on the fly, where you would update the damage level, recompute the eigenvalues, and then control and change the control values on the fly without changing the test, without stopping the test. Okay? So that was the idea of doing this feedback loop, again, this DDDIS application. So to do that, we use, of course, the MCRE because it was, again, adapted to the point, but we also complemented that with Kalman filtering because the idea was to take advantages of both tools, Kalman filtering and MCRE. So if you know a little bit about Kalman filtering, it is a linearized version of Bayesian inference where you are going to, at the beginning, estimate the state of a system in terms of mean and variance. You consider everything is Gaussian, okay? And it works with a two-step approach, a prediction-correction steps, okay? In the prediction, you only use the dynamical system, the model evolution of your dynamical system, and in the correction, you are going to use the new data you get at the next time step, okay? So it's a classical approach. In the linear setting, you introduce then this Kalman filtering, this Kalman gain, okay? When you see that you have the prediction, when you predict the mean and the variance of your state, and then you correct it in the second step. It is quite well known in the community using this data assimilation in data science in particular. Okay. When you do nonlinear systems, it is a little bit more tricky. You can do a linearized version, extended Kalman filter. You can do that. What we use here, what is called the unscented Kalman filter, where you are going to propagate the uncertainty on specific points of your state, and these specific points, which are called the sigma points, are obtained from a Cholesky decomposition of the covariance matrix. It's a little bit technical, but it works, okay, in practice. And of course, what we are interested in our application is not only the state, but also some parameters. And so if you have additional parameters in Kalman filtering, you can do both. You can either consider an extended state, okay, and you simply do a concatenation between the state and the parameters. It becomes nonlinear that way, because the state depends on the parameter itself. Or you can do what is called the dual Kalman filter, which is actually two embedded Kalman filters, one that plays on the parameter only, and a second one, which is going to design from a fixed parameter the best state given some data, okay? And we use this, and the trick that we did to take into account the advantages of the MCRE is that we consider that, but we change the second Kalman filter. Again, this second Kalman filter is for fixed parameters to recover the best state given some observation. And that's exactly what does the MCRE. When you minimize the MCRE, the first step, it does this exactly. For given parameters, given some data, you recover the best state. Okay, by optimizing with respect to some admissible state. It is what I showed before. Okay? So we change this observation there by this new thing. And then when you do that, you take advantages in the sense that you are robust with respect to data, to measurement noise, which is not the case of classical Kalman filtering. And you also take advantage of the low computational cost of updating the parameters compared to classical MCR. So you really do something which is optimal in that sense. This is what we call MDKF in practice. So let me show you the application. Just before that, I like this small scheme to show you that you have two time scale, actually. You have the time scale of the data simulation, and actually, over each time step, you will perform your MCRE minimization, and that's where you are going to use your model reduction strategy to do this as fast as possible, the minimization of MCRE functional to recover the state, the displacement, for instance. Okay? So that it worked like this. And you can do with that, it was the first work we did about 10 years ago on this point. You can, for instance, in this application where you see you have some points of with some measurements, and we were assuming we didn't know the loading, and we want to update to identify the loading a long time. And that's what you get. So you can follow the loading in terms of mean and of covariance, because again, you have access to uncertainties. And you see that the fields, maybe you can see it. Of course, they depend on the position of the sensor. You see this in the inversion process, in the way you derive the model reduction. It is based on this inverse problem. So all the modes in your PGD decomposition are dependent on the position of the sensor. It is not for a direct problem, it is for the inverse one. Okay. So let me show you the application. I'm going to skip this. It was on the academic example, but let's go to the final application from the checking table, the application. Here you see how you capture the change in the first eigenfrequencies in real time. Okay. The first one, the second one, the third one, or reverse, okay? The other one, but you can follow, and you can see it where the structure is damaging, where the eigenfrequencies are changing a lot, there is a high drop. And then you can also compare with what can be observed experimentally, okay, when they were stopping the process. You can compare with the circles and see that you are consistent with this. And of course, as you are able to update the eigenfrequencies in real time, to see the damage and to update the eigenfrequencies in real time, you can now do your full feedback loop. Okay, so you have the equipment, the checking table experiment. You get some data, you update your model in real time with this MDKF process, and then you control the application, the checking table. So here the control was quite easy. It was a simple linear quadratic program controller, so linear quadratic controller, LQP controller, so it was not so difficult, but you can do it. And as you can see, so here is the controller, and changing the controller in this application was simply changing the value in the boxes of this LQP controller, so not so difficult. And you see the result here. You see a test which was initially unstable. This is a red curve. If you don't do anything, if you let the control as initially planned, it becomes unstable because, again, the eigenfrequencies are changing, and then the control is not suited anymore. If you do things correctly, if you change on the fly the controller, then you make the test stable. Okay? It remains stable whatever the damage evolution in your structure. Okay? So that was the beginning, if you want, of this European project, which started 5 years ago. So let's now go to this application, the final one, and I'm going to show you a couple of additional bricks which were added in this MCRE functional and this MDKF framework. So the idea was really to go to smart engineering structures, again, to do all of this optimized maintenance operation in degraded mode and things like this. And the idea was really to go in the numerical part, so using model reduction, using hybrid twins, using additional tools that I will present briefly, but to be able to do something which is fast, that propagates uncertainty, so that gives a robust control low at the end for monitoring. So here is a proof of concept which was designed at the beginning of the project, and I will show you what we managed to do at the end. But here you really see again this feedback loop. Here you have your real system. Actually, the structure is this small red part here. It is placed in a steward platform which is going to actually monitor the loading which is applied on the system, because you can do multi-axial loading with this kind of device. So you have your structure. It is equipped with sensors. Here in the project, we use optic fiber sensor, which is very rich information coming from the material. And you can have information inside the material in real time, which is nice. So it was something which was purchased for the project. It is quite expensive to get, but still, it is very useful. And then from this information coming from optic fibers, again, you're going to update your model, see what is the health, what is the state of your application, of damage, for instance. And then you are going to do control on the other way around. And that's where we use model predictive control, because now it becomes a little bit more tricky to do control. You have something which is highly nonlinear, which evolves in time with some constraints and so on. Okay? So that is the overall proof of concept we wanted to design at the beginning. The project was designed in three tasks. The first one is really data simulation. So you recover again the MDKF thing with model reduction, with also model adaptation. Another thing we did here is we use AI to enrich the material. I will show you a couple of slides on that, because it is very interesting to show that we use AI not for everything, but for this it was useful to enrich the material law, okay? Because it is some kind of empiric in practice. So it's nice to use AI to discover, to learn the material which is consistent for what you want to do. And of course, the task number three was on control. Okay? So let me show you one or two slides on each of these tasks to show you what has been done. So task one was assimilation. So it is a classical MDKF strategy I just mentioned. So you can see here we have some experiments in the lab, for instance, on concrete beams, in which we equip them with some optic fibers, and we can follow in real time how the damage is going to evolve with time. Of course, we can validate with additional measurements. Here you have, again, image correlation to see if the prediction coming from the model is consistent with what you have in practice. I like also this plot, because here is the modeling error part, the CRE part. It shows you that from the model we considered, the main error comes from the boundary conditions. Here in this application, we were considering at the beginning that we knew perfectly the boundary condition, but it turns out that not. We should, if we want to improve the process, we have to relax, to put some uncertainty in the way we impose boundary conditions there, okay? And that would improve the identification. But at least you have information on that. You can see where the model is wrong. Okay, so this is a MDKF classical strategy I was showing you before. We did, of course, a few improvements. So there were first an improvement in terms of experiment. I'm not going to deal with this, but there was a strategy to filter out what is more informative from the measurements, from what coming from the optic fibers. So it is not quite technical. I don't have time to speak with this. We also use, in terms of modeling and numerics, some sparse regularization, because we want to catch data, we want to catch damage, and damage is very localized. So we use some things which are referring to a compressed sensing or things like this, where you inform on the localization of what you want to find. Okay, so we use this kind of trick. We also use an adaptive modeling, an adaptive description of the parameters, because you don't want to have too many parameters, because in this uncertain Kalman filter, the complexity depends on the size of your state. And as the parameter here is seen as a state in this MDKF, you want to minimize the number of parameters you need to consider. And of course, you simply need to put a lot of parameters where there is damage. In everywhere else where it's sane, where nothing happens in terms of damage, you can have a very crude representation of the damage. Okay? So here there was this notion of adaptive mesh to represent the damage parameters, and this was done by Cartesian grid, which was quite convenient for what we wanted to do. And there was also something which is ongoing, which is a PhD with Safran, on how to place optimally a sensor coming from optic fiber, because the difficulty is that you have a continuous line to place optimally. So it is a little bit more tricky than when you have some pointwise things. And so we use B-spline, we use information theory and things like this to design optimally the placement, the a priori placement of the fiber to catch damage, whatever it is. And of course, you don't know initially where it's going to be. Okay. So of course, everything is, again, based on model reduction. So here, I simply show you an application on this same concrete beam to indicate that all this minimization in the MDKF is driven by this model reduction that can adapt and that can fastly identify the damage state, whatever the parameter. For instance, here you have a case, which is a simulation in 3D, and if I change, for instance, some parameters, here in green you have a parameter which is related to the Young modulus, you have in blue a parameter related to the loading. If you change it a little bit, you directly have the response. You don't have to recompute everything. That is, of course, the interest of model reduction. You can see what is going to be the impact on the damage evolution in your system. Okay, so it's when you change the loading, when you change now the Young modulus, you see automatically, you simply have to evaluate the solution. It's almost real time. Okay, and that's what makes the thing real time at the end, of course. One point on the learning, because there were some talks about machine learning of AI, use of neural network. Here we use it on very specific tasks. We don't use it a lot. We mainly use physics and model reduction, classical model reduction, but still, we use AI for a few things. And in particular, we use it to learn the constitutive law, or at least to enrich the constitutive law. And you know that there are a lot of work that has been devoted recently on learning material laws. So there are many things. Some I like, some I don't like. But we try to design something which is a compromise compared to what you can see in terms of pins, of tans. There are many wordings in that. But here we use something which, in my opinion, is gathering everything together, because we use something where the loss function is going to be physics-guided, because we use this MCRE loss function. We have the CRE term, the constitutive regulation error, so it's natural to design the loss function from this functional, because you want to learn the constitutive law. We are going to have a physics-guided architecture, because coming from the thermodynamics, you want to discover some potentials which are convex. So we are going to use some input convex neural networks, which is quite natural to enforce the thermodynamics. And we are going to initialize the process with the a priori knowledge we have on the material. For instance, we can say at the beginning, let's assume it is an isotropic elastic material or plastic material. We don't start from anything. We already know a lot on the material, and we simply enrich, complement this knowledge. Okay, so this is a process. So of course, as I said, we are going to use this functional, the MCRE functional, or CRE plus the term on data, as a loss function, which has also the advantage of knowing where you are in your learning. And so we minimize this functional, so we learn the potential with input convex neural networks. And this is, again, very robust in different aspects, in particular with respect to noise. And you know exactly what you have to put in terms of hyperparameter, which is usually something which is quite difficult to set in practice. So that's how it, works. Sorry, I didn't press the correct button. Yeah, that's how it works in practice. On one simple example, imagine you want to catch this behavior. So here you have this potential referred to elasticity, where you don't have the same behavior in traction and in compression. You have a dissymmetry in the behavior. And you initially say that my initial guess is that the behavior is linear elasticity, pure linear elasticity. Okay, you see here this convex, quadratic potential. And so you indicate that in your process, and then iteratively, you are going to go from this yellow potential to the final green one, which is the correct one, which is the one you wanted to catch. And you can follow, in your MCRE-based loss function, how you learn, and when you can stop, because you have learned what you had to learn. Okay, so there is a mathematically, or at least technically, numerically, you have some nice way to have an idea of the error. Okay, and as I said, all the hyperparameters that you have in the design, you can directly select them automatically without any a priori. It is built in the approach. So I think I don't have much time to discuss on the last part, but just one word. On the last task, the task which is based on control, to go to MPC, model predictive control. For those of you, you know what you have to do when you do model predictive control. You have to do some constraint optimization calculation at each time step. So it is very costly in practice. And here we can we have to do it because again the model is changing. It is non-linear. We want to take into account all the uncertainties. And so what we did in the at the end of this ERC is to use again AI to learn the solution of the MPC optimization. Okay, so I will not detail that, but that's where we use for the second time the learning. Okay. I'm going to skip all this and go directly to the final point. So I just want to say one word on tube MPC because we use MPC taking into account uncertainties. Okay, don't forget that we are able to propagate uncertainties, and until up to the control law, we are propagating uncertainties, and this is done by what is called tube MPC, which is going to design not one deterministic solution, but all possibilities depending on the lack of knowledge you have on parameters, on boundary conditions, and so on. And this is, of course, automatically done because we did all the necessary tasks to have uncertainty quantification. Okay, so let me go back simply to the final application as I promised. I told you at the beginning that we were planning this proof of concept, and we did it. Here you have the experiment. So again, you have here the experiment. It is a reduced scale turbine blade, which was made in the lab. Again, it is not a real one, of course. You have this hexapod at the bottom, the one which is going to load the system, which is going to control the external loading. You have at the top, it looks like an hexapod, but it is simply a sensor for forces to know the force which is applied globally on the system. And what we wanted to do in this experiment is to follow the loading and to monitor it to avoid the structure to collapse, to break. Okay? So what was done is the following. Here you can see the structure moving. So we were designing an initial loading path in traction, in torsion, in bending. This was what we wanted to do. And of course, during the test, the blade is going to damage, and then you cannot reach all the possible loading you would like. You need to be in the restricted zone to make the thing remain in the safety domain. Okay? And so automatically, this process was applied, and the controller was designing what was the best control to do what you want to do, but with the constraint of avoiding collapse. Okay? And one final slide to show you the results. You have many information there. So you have the mesh which is used. You have how you can have an idea of the position of the optical fiber. You can see where it is here locally, okay, with boundary condition on the bottom and on the top. Here you have some curve. On the left, you have the state, which is predicted, the displacement, the optimal displacement, which is predicted by your hybrid twin. In the middle, you have the evolution of the damage a long time, and you can catch that at the very beginning, damage is already existing at the foot of the blade. And here, you have the error map, the modeling error map. And you can see that it does not evolve much a long time, and that the main part where you have a wrong modeling is again close to boundary conditions. So again, if you want to improve your modeling part, you would have to improve the way you improve boundary condition, or at least inform the process that you don't know exactly how the boundary conditions are imposed. Okay? And I think that's it for me. Sorry for being too long. What was nice also is that we are able to do that in a few seconds in practice, so it is very fast. It is real time for what we want to do. And of course, the next step, and this is my last slide, is that we want to to go to industrialization of this. So there is a continuation of the ERC, which is called ERC POC, where we would like to have a well-designed platform where we are going to integrate everything which has been done in the ERC to address more industrial application. So you see, mix between hybrid twins, model reduction, data, and I am happy with this, working with this. Thank you very much.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.